Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is going to be humanity's destiny. And I'll start by reading an article by Benjamin Creme's master titled Man's Destiny. And this was given in October 2008. When men awaken to their true potential, they will be amazed at the range of creativity which will become theirs. The audacity of their thought will at first astound them and will lead them into enterprises all but unimaginable today. Men will find that they are, in truth, potential gods. From the deep slumber of the past, men will awaken and slough off the heavy coat of ignorance which for long has delayed their forward progress. Thus will it be. Man is now at the turning point in his long adventure in life on planet Earth. From now on, all progress will be the result of his considered will and reason. No longer will greed and competition impede his journey to perfection. No longer will war and want for millions degrade and stain his path. Never again will lawlessness and separation rule on planet Earth. Man's foot now stands on a ladder of ascent which will take him to the very stars. As we, your elder brothers, take our places beside you, you will see in us exemplars and be inspired to become like us. You will see that we know no competition, that we value all life in whatever form. You will see that we love without distinction or condition, and work only and always for the fulfillment of the plan. Men are destined by the plan to reach that same perfection. Ours is the task to show them the way. The path to such perfection is well trodden by us, and we have set in place the needed landmarks. Men must see humanity as one, brothers and sisters, sons of the one Father. Freedom and justice are essential to all, everywhere, without exception, and can only be achieved by trust. Sharing alone can create that trust and set men on the path to their divinity. Men, to be happy, must live within the laws of life, of cause and effect, rebirth, harmlessness and sacrifice. These basic laws are the ancient landmarks which protect men from self-destruction and remorse. When Maitreya steps forward into open vision, you will hear these laws again, for they form the basis of all his teaching and the basis of all life on planet Earth. The awakening of men depends on humanity grasping the import of these laws and their willingness and readiness to change. This present so-called civilization has shot its bolt, is decayed and dying, with little further to offer men than hardship and fear and finally self-annihilation. Maitreya comes to show men that they have within themselves all that it takes to become the gods they essentially are. to show them how simple and beautiful is that way, and to inspire them to grasp and accept their destiny. Maitreya doubts not their response. The next piece I'm going to read is from the book titled The Great Approach, and as usual, these will be excerpts from books by Benjamin Krem. And this little excerpt begins as follows. The next destined step for humanity is the creation of right human relationships. That means the demonstration of our ability to live in peace. If we cannot live in peace, we cannot live at all, because a war today on a major scale would destroy all life. So, the first step into right human relations is the creation of conditions of peace. Maitreya says this is simple, but there is only one way in which we can produce peace, and that is to create justice in the world. Without justice, there will never be peace, and without peace, there will be no world. How then do we get justice? We share the resources. There are more than enough resources for all the people in the world. When we share, Maitreya says, we take the first step into our divinity. Sharing, he says, is divine. Freedom is divine. Justice is divine. These are all divine aspects. And a brief quote from one of Maitreya's messages: to manifest his divinity, man must embrace these three. This next excerpt is from Maitreya's Mission Volume 2, and it'll be in the form of a series of questions and answers. So the first question: will humans fall down in their evolution, or will they maintain their divinity? Evolution proceeds in cycles, spirals. Of course, man can misuse his free will and fall back, but once a certain degree of divinity has been manifested, certain peaks reached, the likelihood of such a fall becomes remote. Divinity, our intrinsic nature, once achieved, realized, is not likely to be lost. The momentum of evolution has an upward current, and the will of God eventually achieves its goal. This is the next question. It is said that the dawning age of Aquarius will be a time of great progress in many ways, in which love and understanding will at last take precedence over the strife and separation that have so long predominantly held sway. If possible, would you please give us some information on what the next step might be? That is, what work might then be undertaken, what type of activity take place during the succeeding age of Capricorn. And as a side note, if you're not already aware of this, the age of Aquarius, which we've just entered, will last about 2,300 years. So each age lasts that long. There are 12 such ages in a cycle mirroring the signs of the zodiac. Therefore, after the age of Aquarius, we have the age of Capricorn. And Mr. Krem's reply: we still have to manifest the love and understanding, the synthesis and brotherhood, which should characterize the Aquarian age. It will not happen automatically by itself, but only if we make it so. Theoretically, according to the plan, Aquarius will be the age in which the love nature of God, revealed by the Christ in Jesus, becomes manifest on a world scale. In Capricorn, the will aspect will be revealed and is expected to become manifest on a world scale. The will embodies the purpose of God. What that will be like in world terms in Capricorn remains to be seen. We can only, I believe, fruitlessly speculate about such things. One thing I believe we can say with confidence, humanity will be demonstrating such control over the forces of nature and of cosmos as to justify being called gods. And this next question is from March 1988. Mankind never reached such a fast step in its evolutionary process until this age. How does this fit with the fact that the problems of the world have never been so great? I have little doubt that at the end of every age, the problems for humanity have loomed especially large. Today, precisely because of the evolutionary advance of mankind, our problems are focused as never before. For the first time in history, the whole world is caught up in a process of change, and at the same time, there is the possibility of total annihilation. This is unique to our time. Worldwide communications, too, have made us aware of the global extent of our difficulties. Our complex and sophisticated social structures place enormous pressures on every country, while our inability so far to share resources and rationalise distribution increases these pressures. Also, for the first time in history, says 5 billion, I think it's more like 8 billion people, are competing for space and sustenance on the planet at the same time. And the next question, how did the energies of the last Aquarian Age affect humanity of the time? At that time, which was roughly 26,000 years ago, humanity was, for the most part, scattered in small groups throughout the planet. Apart from some late Atlantean remnants, Poseidonists and some South American cultures and city-states, most of these groups were hunters, often nomadic, following the game on their seasonal migrations. Some were pastoral shepherds or fishers. The Aquarian energies had the effect of uniting many of these groups into larger units, which made hunting safer and more effective. In Europe, cave paintings in Spain and France, for example, bear witness to the high standards reached in both artistic and magical expression. These larger units gave the possibility of lengthy stays in one place, in a cave or otherwise, and led gradually to the agrarian society and the establishment of farms, villages, and eventually towns and cities. And here is a short excerpt from the book, The Ageless Wisdom Teaching. We are part of the fifth root race. The first truly human root race was the Lemurian, which lasted about 6 million years. There were two earlier races, but they were not in dense physical bodies. That was followed by the Atlantean root race, which lasted about 12 million years. Our root race, the Aryan, nothing to do with Hitler's notion of Aryan man, has been about 100,000 years in the making, so it is in the very early stages. Each root race has this task of perfecting one or other body. The Lemurian race had the task of perfecting the physical vehicle. The Atlantean had the task of perfecting the astral emotional vehicle. It did this so well that it is man's strongest vehicle, and the vast majority of humanity today are still at an Atlantean state of consciousness, in other words, polarized on the astral or emotional plane. The Aryan race, our race, has the task of perfecting the mental vehicle. We are only using the lowest aspect of the mental planes. There are four mental planes, according to esotericism. The highest of these is called the causal plane, on which is found the body of the soul, the causal body. The soul uses the causal body for most of its incarnational experience, up to the fourth initiation, when it is dispensed with. In this way, the races are brought forward, evolve. Each race has 7 sub-races. The Europeans and Americans today are the 5th sub-race of the Aryan route race. And so we're going back now to Maitreya's mission, volume 2, and carrying on with this question and answer structure. And this question is, what is the meaning of the different human races? Each race is given the task of perfecting a particular instrument of consciousness. For example, the first truly human race, the Lemurian, had the goal of perfecting the physical body and giving early animal man physical consciousness and polarization. The next race, the Atlantean, had the goal of perfecting the astral, feeling, sensory vehicle. And this is now the most powerful vehicle of average humanity, who are still largely astrally polarized. Sorry, I suppose this is repeating a little bit of what I've read out previously, but never mind. Our present race, the Aryan, has the long-term goal of perfecting the mental vehicle. At the moment, only lower concrete aspects of mind are much in evidence. Our present science and technology demonstrate this achievement. The 6th sub-race, we are the 5th of the present Aryan race, will demonstrate the higher aspect of mind, which we call intuition. The various human races in incarnation at the present time are largely a result of this process, and also the result of the play of various rays on humanity over long ages. This has created the multiplicity of types and qualities by which the races are distinguished. Unity in diversity is the basic aim of the evolution of races. And now we're going to go to the book, the very first book by Benjamin Graham, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And this is a quote again from Benjamin Graham. When the physical structures of human living are reconstructed, and the principles which should govern our life in Aquarius are understood and being implemented, the Christ will reveal to men an entirely new aspect of reality, a new revelation which it is his mission to bring. The ancient mysteries will be restored, the mystery schools reopened, and a great expansion of man's awareness of himself and his purpose and destiny will become possible. The waters of life of Aquarius will flow from the Christ, and men will have that life more abundantly that he promised. The principle of sharing is the key to this glorious future for humanity. When the world is truly one, when the produce of the world is shared among all men, the secrets of the divine science held in custody for us by the masters of the wisdom can safely be revealed. And through its agency, man can create a civilization such as the world has never seen. Man will come to realize himself as the divine being he is, and will express that divinity in a new creativity and livingness under the guidance of the Christ and the Masters. And we've got time for one more quote, and this is from Benjamin Graham's master, from the article The New Civilization. Stage by stage, century following century, man will build a civilization which will demonstrate his growing manifestation of divinity, a culture in which the beauty of the divine creation will be expressed in all its aspects, a mirror in which the divine idea will be reflected in all its glory. Thus will man take his true place in the scheme of things under the divine plan. Thus, under the inspiration of the Christ, will he transform this world, separated by fear, dogma, and hate, into that in which the law of love governs, in which all men are brothers, in which all that pertains to the divine nature engages man's attention and controls his life. Thus will man's dreams of divinity be realized, his potential achieved, his destiny fulfilled. And that's all we have time for. Thanks for listening. Wishing you all a lovely week.